In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful sinners, await their punishment in the hands of an angry God. This is indeed often the idea which accompanies the well-known antiphon, the Exsurge Domine, the opening words of today's introit. And it's not a false idea. This is, for example, the title of Pope Leo X's Bull of Excommunication of Martin Luther. There is, however, another side to the spirit of this invocation. The man who repents from the heart and puts his trust in God, though he may have committed a multitude of sins, even very grave sins, will not be abandoned or rejected by God. God, rather, will come powerfully and swiftly to his aid. It is the ancient Noah of the Old Testament who is the subject of the readings from the Office of Matins this week in the Roman Breviary. And when Noah and his three sons roamed the earth, the great flood which God sent over the whole world was indeed a punishment. The sacred scriptures in the book of Genesis tell us that the human race had reached the climax of its sinfulness and that God repented of even having ever made man. Sins and wicked behaviors reigned everywhere. As the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us, there is nothing new under the sun. But before the flood came over the earth, God had determined that he would not utterly destroy the human race, but purify it. He made a covenant with the just Noah, a covenant which was to have its ultimate fulfillment in the New and Eternal Testament. His covenant with Noah indeed carried the penalty of death for many sinners, the greater part of the human race. But this was not an act of wanton cruelty. This chastisement served as the lesson for succeeding generations that God indeed is the sovereign master of this universe, of life. And anything and everything exists only by his permission. We are only alive because of the goodness of God, not by our own merits or power. There is a somewhat common idea of the great flood as perhaps having been sent rather immediately by God, a sort of short notice given to Noah of, who knows, several weeks or several months wherein he would have had the time to construct the ark and then board his family members and the animals. And it's perhaps imagined that during this time, everyone else, like lemmings rushing heedlessly toward the cliff of death, carried on in ignorance of their coming fate, without proper warning, doomed to disaster. So often happens, however, this results from a lack of our appreciation of God's generosity. We see in the book of Genesis that Noah first received divine warning of this coming destruction 120 years before it occurred. And therefore, when he was already 480 years old, men lived a lot longer in the earliest years of the earth's existence. Between the time of God's announcement of the coming flood and its arrival, there passed a period of roughly 75 years, not more and possibly less. And during this time, the message of the future punishment was spread as far and wide by Noah as possible. In his second epistle, St. Peter tells us that Noah had announced the impending judgment and had exhorted all those with whom he came into contact. He had exhorted them to repentance. And what was the reaction of his hearers? like Jonah and the Ninevites, indifference. Excuse me. No, the Ninevites were not indifferent. Exactly the opposite. Pardon me. The Ninevites repented, unlike the Ninevites. The men and women who listened to Noah didn't care. They did not amend their lives. This is confirmed also by the Apostle St. Matthew and St. Luke, the evangelist. And when God's punishing hand finally touched the earth in the form of the massive rains and then the enveloping waters, no one except Noah's immediate family found refuge in the ark. All the rest had ignored the call to repentance, and they ultimately perished. After the waters of the flood had resided and peace and tranquility were restored to the earth, a great reward indeed awaited Noah and his three sons. God allowed the entire earth to be repeopled once again with peoples and nations through Noah's sons and their families. As is so often the case, God's punishment was the instrument that he used to prepare the way for his mercy. Finding ourselves, therefore, at the outset of the Lenten season, which is coming fast, may we above all remember that the virtue of penance, that by which we repent of our sins, is given to us to prepare the way for the gift of his mercy. Like the contemporaries of Noah, we continue in our sinful ways at the greatest peril to our souls, for none of us know the day nor the hour of our demise, nor whether or not we will die in a state of God's friendship. But unlike the contemporaries of Noah, we still have an opportunity to recognize our weakness and ask God for the grace of true conversion of heart. It is no coincidence, dear faithful, that St. Paul underlines his own infirmity three separate times in today's epistle, saying that if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. An idea, a sentiment, totally alien to the pagan world surrounding the first Christians, to glory in one's infirmities. And though it might seem like foolishness, it is not, dear faithful. For God's power, as St. Paul tells us, is made perfect, is manifested most clearly in the weakness of men. As it was for St. Paul, even this great saint, having received a certain sting of the flesh and an angel of Satan to buffet and to try him, the power of God is made perfect in our infirmity. When we are weak, if we put our trust in God, that is when we will be the strongest. So this Lent, and indeed our entire lives, let us trust utterly in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.